It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Okay, I've enjoyed it. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. Yeah.
That is legitimately the way he ended his press conference.
That was
tonight.
The last words he said.
And I felt totally reassured after listening to our president. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Going to chat with Wayne Gerdes here. He's the hyper-miling expert. Teach you how to get more gas mileage out of your cars.
Cool.
The intern update. We have both intern Horst and intern Jeff duct taped to the tree out front. One of them has do not judge on his little piece of paper, and the other one has respect. As a matter of fact, it was written on their shirts.
That's what I hear.
They're wearing, and incidentally, they're wearing Mike O'Mara Show t-shirts, and that's what was written on.
Sounds like a waste.
Okay. It's a waste of a good t-shirt.
Yeah,
it should have been their own personal clothing that it was written on. That's just my opinion.
Or just a WJFK shirt.
Anything. So I said, do you understand why you're still duct taped to the tree? When you both had incorrect answers.
What'd they say?
And Horst looks at me in that Aryan way that he has and says, I did not, it really should be a German accent.
Yeah, it should.
I did not know there was a correct answer.
Is that a correct answer?
Horst freaks me out, to be honest with you. Just that stare, that death stare that he gives you.
I have to say less so now that he's tied up.
Yes.
Yeah, but do you remember
He tried to free himself when half the station was looking at him, and Matt Goldstein, who is the victim of many, many intern stunts, he went out there and put Horst's arm back inside the duct tape.
Do you remember the first full day Horst was here, and he was sitting in the green room staring at a wall?
I know.
In the dark.
He does not get it, but
perhaps
we'll see.
Tomorrow we can give those shirts away as prizes.
All I know is it's put a damper on Joe Ardinger's idea for the what?
The police are here, she said.
The police are here?
do these police have armbands?
The police are here.
I can't
well,
imagine.
Hold on. Well, let's go outside. Get a can you tell Wayne to hold on for just a second, Beth Ann? Because this is very, very significant here.
Let's go live.
Let's get somebody out there with a telephone, because I'd like to know what's going on. Okay. Beth Ann, instead of talking to me in my earphone, as you look out the window, can we get somebody outside with a cell phone, if that's possible? Is Joe going to go outside with the cell phone? Is that him right now? Okay, very good. Let's go outside. We go outside where there's seems to be some sort of controversy. We go to on-the-spot reporter Joe Ardinger. Joe, what can you tell us? What is going on here?
The cops got called, I guess, and now he's back in his car, though. Uh-huh.
And I see that. Why were the cops called?
Why were the cops called?
People drove by and they were concerned for our safety.
People drove by and were concerned for their safety.
Jeff?
I don't buy that.
Is that Jeff that said that?
Yeah.
So,
do either of them have cell phones out there?
Do you have your cell phone out here?
Yes.
Of course Jeff does.
Jeff did not make the call himself, did he?
You didn't call him yourself, did you? Well, his hands are stuck in
Let me talk. All right, I'm going to give Jeff another chance here. Let me talk to Jeff, who seems to be at least the smarter of the two right now.
I think we have a chance.
Okay.
We might have a chance with Jeff. Let's speak to him. All right.
The other guy.
Hey, Jeff, so you were the only one that, you guys were the only ones that talked to the cops, right?
Yeah.
What exactly did the law enforcement officer say when he approached you?
He got out of his car and he said, "You guys are here for the show, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, then you're fine."
All right.
I said,
good, Jeff.
Sure?
That's a notch up right there, baby.
Man for man, the finest law enforcement agency on the face of the earth.
Absolutely. Was it county or city, Jeff?
I don't know.
City of Fairfax.
City of Fairfax. Fine operation. Mm-hmm. We appreciate
Fairfax
that.
Fairfax is finest.
Right.
All right.
And how are you doing there? You still got feeling in your fingers and toes?
Hold on. What's that?
Do you still have feelings in your fingers and toes?
I'm losing feeling in my toes. I got them in my fingers.
All right. Now, what I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you know, because you gave me a good answer there, Jeff, I'm going to ask you one more question.
Okay.
What have you learned from this experience?
Well, I learned not to be cost-effective and just buy the first thing I find.
Pardon me?
He learned to be cost-effective and not just...
Not to be. I was looking for the exact type of light bulb. I couldn't find it. That was my fault.
I'm sorry. That lesson has not been learned. It was
a
bigger
Syracuse?
Lesson. it's the whole Katie thing. You're missing the boat.
The cop just pulled up.
He did? All right. Let's go back. Give it back to Joe Arden.
And now he just left.
Uh-huh. All right, give the phone back to Joe, please.
All right, Joe, he wants to talk.
He just needs to read a sign that says respect. That's the lesson.
He mentioned that he's losing feeling in his toes. I could light this mulch on fire.
No, Joe.
Take it easy.
Nobody likes intern torture more than Joe, but no, they're fine out there right now. I just think they're going to learn their lesson eventually. Joe, any other law enforcement activity outside?
Nope, they rolled.
Okay, keep an eye on the boys. Make sure that they're flying straight and narrow out there and not trying to escape, okay?
I'll keep an eye on them from the air-conditioned comfort of the call screen room.
Thank you very much. That's Joe Artinger, roving reporter. And now, without further ado, let's talk fuel economy, ladies and gentlemen. This gentleman is Wayne Gerdes. Wayne, thanks for waiting, and thanks for coming on the show.
No problem. And it looks like Fun with Interns Day is definitely a tough act to follow.
You know, I'll tell you something, Wayne. I don't know in your travels if you've ever had to deal with some of these interns, but sometimes the training has to take certain unorthodox directions.
So ugly term.
And that's what we're doing today. Wayne, how are you?
I'm fine. And how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. When Beth Ann approached me with this and she mentioned hypermiling, and Beth Ann, come in here because I know you wanted to get this guy on the show. She said her daughter tries to do this. What exactly is hypermiling and how does it work?
Well, hypermiling is simply beating the EPA that's stuck or attached to your vehicle from the time you drive it up from the dealership lot till the time you turn it in to the dealer as a trade-in or private party buys it off you or take it to the junkyard.
Now, is this something where you can go to a store and buy something to make it work? Is it the way you drive? Is it the type of gas you use?
What, how do you do it?
You know, what do you do to make it work?
What's the gimmick?
It's the nut behind the wheel. It's all it takes.
So it's the way you drive?
That's exactly correct.
Really? Please to explain.
Okay, well, first off, you set up your vehicle. Of course, we'd rather not see anybody turn the key at all. If you can bike, walk, or take public transit, it's always best. But if you are going to turn the key on your vehicle, why not think before you do and try to think yourself three blocks out? You know, if you're thinking what's the bumper in front of you, you're not really paying attention to what's going on, and you're always going to be on the brake or the accelerator, and that's something we try to avoid.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and that's just an anticipatory focus. But
incidentally,
setup,
Wayne, before you go on, this is kind of what I was hoping it would be.
Sure.
You know, the type of thing that everybody can try on their way home tonight. When you,
by all means.
You're talking about when you say think three blocks out, what you're saying is, you know, you have to anticipate, you know, when you can coast and when you're not using the accelerator. Is that right?
For all those on the road today, if they look not at the bumper in front of them, but let's say a half mile ahead, look at some top of an 18-wheeler a half mile ahead, that you'll be there within, let's say, a minute in a slow-speed traffic situation. How fast he's traveling is how fast you should be traveling. If he's slowing down already, once you start thinking about slowing down instead of using your brakes and work with the bumper in front of you instead of, you know, just a madness and mayhem.
And now, when you're doing this, it just seems to me, that's one thing, but, I mean, can that really save you that much money in fuel costs?
That's not going to get you the 75 miles a gallon you got on the Ford Escape Hybrid, is it?
And with you looking a half mile ahead, do you ever rear-end anybody?
Never, never, no.
So what else are the others?
Yeah, it's going to save. I saved over $10,000 in fuel costs in my Honda Accord, and anybody can do this. And you have a buffet table of techniques, and, of course, anticipatory focus. Try to drive as if you didn't have any brakes, but, of course, you do. How would you change your habits if you knew that there was a problem with your braking system but you still had to go somewhere? You'd actually create buffers. You'd actually use your brakes less. You'd use less accelerator. You wouldn't be as aggressive out there. It really, really works, and it's really easy to do.
I'm starting to come around on this. I thought it might be something a little out there, but you're talking about when you say use the car as if you had problems with your brakes. Would that at all involve downshifting?
It can, depending on the scenario. But again, there's a multitude of techniques that you would use to slow down, but it would be best to just coast into whatever the situation is. Remember, you're thinking 3 to 4 blocks ahead, so you're anticipating what's happening instead of reacting to what's happening. And by doing that, you'd start to slow down prior to you running into the impediment in front of you.
Do you drive people insane when you're out on the highways and byways? Do people get pissed off because you're going too slow?
Some do and some don't, but I want to bring this up. Mm-hmm. If you're traveling through a Walmart parking lot and there's women and children running around without a 3,000-pound sedan surrounding them, you're traveling in there at a 15-mile-per-hour differential. What is that different than if you're traveling the speed limit and somebody's 10 over out on the interstate, except both of you are surrounded by a 3,000-pound ABS-equipped, airbag-equipped vehicle?
You got all nerdy on me there, Wayne. I missed that completely. You got to rephrase that in like normal speak here.
Sure.
I swear to God, I started looking out the window when you
there
said that.
There you go. Speed difference.
3,000-pound car, 15 in a parking lot, driving 10 miles per hour. Come on now. I almost flunked out of AU.
Speed differentials out on the highway for the guy following the speed limits are no different than speed differentials in a parking lot at a Walmart.
So you're talking going 55 as opposed to 65.
That's correct.
All right, it's
and
the same thing.
And you stay in a right-hand lane and ridge ride and stay there. And the number.
What is ridge ride? What does that mean?
That's a simple one, but it's a safety technique. It offsets you in your lane, in the right-hand lane. You just move a little bit over to the right, almost to the fog line, so that everybody behind you sees something different. It wakes them up out of that stupor. and they say, hey, something's going on up there. They get off their cell phone. They stop worrying about what's on the radio, well, except for your show.
Thank you.
They notice you about a half mile ahead. That. So you're doing very well when that happens. That way you don't impede them.
Does that mean you're going super slow when you're on the highway?
No, it just means you're following the speed limit, which you might be the only legal one within a 30-mile radius, but yeah.
Okay, but Wayne, how does this save you? How do you get 75 miles a gallon out of a Ford Escape hybrid?
He actually got that out of his Accord, too, right? Oh, 59.3 miles per gallon with his 05 Accord.
But it isn't that technique alone that got you that kind of crazy good mileage, is it?
Well, again, there's a buffet table of techniques, and if I drive my wife's Acura MDX to the O'Hare Airport, I live in Chicago,
right,
and back, I can get usually about 35 miles per gallon just driving it using the basic techniques.
Okay.
It's rated at 17 miles per gallon.
That's pretty good.
That's awesome, actually.
Any vehicle is capable of double the EPA. I don't care if you're driving an 18-wheel over-the-road tractor trailer rig or you're driving a Toyota Yaris. 50 to 100% over to EPA is easy if you are equipped and you start driving as if the car was something that you are on no gas.
Okay, I like this because you give us a lot of detail and then you'll throw that in there, like act like you're on empty.
Empty, yeah.
And drive the car like you're on empty. We've all done that. Now Beth Ann is trying to sneak out of here.
She has a Nissan Versa. And what inspired her was somebody had a Nissan Versa that got 98 miles per gallon.
Wow.
Okay, what are you applauding
for? I'm playing the flourish for your daughter.
Thank you. So
your daughter, Christine.
Now my daughter goes as far as to keeping her car very clean, and it's always waxed. It's something about the aerodynamics. She got a spoiler on the back.
Does she wax anything else?
Rob, hey. Speewag.
Do you understand what I'm saying, Wayne?
You are a naughty
little boy. I know what you're saying, and forget the guys. She's doing great, and she probably pays less than half of what the other guys do. So she's doing good.
Does washing the car make a difference?
Actually, it doesn't.
Nodding.
Does running the air conditioning make any difference?
But I thought waxing it was one of the techniques.
It isn't. When the boundary layer is so thick and over above any dirt that'd be on there, you'd have to have it caked with mud before you start to see a difference.
No, Rob was asking about the air conditioning.
Yeah, air conditioning can hurt you, although on a day like, if it's 90 degrees and you have to use it, of course you use it, but you use it smartly.
But Wayne, I've heard that it uses less energy to keep your air conditioning on and your windows shut because of aerodynamics than having your AC off and having your windows
open. And the modern air conditioners don't sap the engine as much as the older ones.
Oh, they sap the engine, all right.
Yeah, I think
and
so too.
Especially
I do too.
Around town, but even out on the highway, if you... most vehicles, even with their windows down, are relatively aerodynamic today versus the old days when you had to flip out front windows that would act like a little parachute, but they'd cool air. Yeah.
Is there anything physically you can do to the vehicles, like addition, subtraction? Beth Ann mentioned the spoiler
on the back.
And that's not why she's got the spoiler, not for fuel economy.
Oh.
She's
that spoiler
the people she's hanging around with.
It may actually hurt. Sorry.
Fast and the Furious?
Yes.
Oh, no.
She's hanging around those late-night racetracks. That's
Motorheads.
What she's doing. What can you do? What can you add on to your car?
Pressing up the tires to the max sidewall is a simple one. It doesn't cost anything, and your tires, all you got to do is go to the air station and fill it up. Add a scan gauge to it. A scan gauge is a device that you can read real-time fuel economy data from your vehicle, anything 1996 or newer. And next oil change, put in some lightweight synthetic that's recommended for your vehicle, and that'll give you another 2 to 3% boost. But just those three items, the nets before you turn the key, that's good for 20%. If you're paying $4 a gallon a day, it's like paying $3.20 to drive the same distance tomorrow. Just by adding those things, and you haven't really changed anything.
Now, are any of the automakers approaching you or anybody? I mean, who do you work for? How do you make your money?
Running a website, basically.
Okay, what is that? And I'm fascinated by this. What is the website? Is it cleanmpg.com?
That's correct.
Cleanmpg.com.
That's correct.
As far as automobiles, because you hear a lot of people that are... What did you just react to, Beth Ann McBride? Interns cut down, caused an... Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for letting me read that.
Thank you
very much. I don't think that was the reason, though.
No.
Thank you.
Right.
That's great to get that during the show. We just had a little problem outside with it. I hope everything's okay.
Fine.
Wayne, what I was going to say, as far as
God
vehicles, sorry about that. We had a little problem outside.
Not at all.
With vehicles, what do you recommend certain cars? Because everybody's looking for hybrids right now. Everybody's
like
looking
Tahoe?
For stuff like that.
Tahoe hybrid is going to hurt you. going to be bad.
So the Tahoe hybrid is not what it says it is, right?
No, it's not really a hybrid. Isn't it called flex fuel?
No, there's two types. There's a flex fuel, and then there's also the Tahoe hybrid. And the Tahoe hybrid, for the size of it, I actually had to, got a chance to drive one to Detroit, and it was worth $29 over a nasty Detroit commute during rush hour. But out on the highway, she's good for 30 to 35 miles per gallon. If you're
so that's worth it. So the Tahoe is, you know, it's better than like a regular
my
SUV.
My Tahoe gets 16 to 17 miles to the gallon.
You get the regular gas
exactly,
Tahoe.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. Well,
except your Tahoe is really worth about 25 to 27 out on the highway.
Now, Rob, okay? Don't give him obscene gestures.
I didn't.
He's trying to help you, yeah, for God's sake.
I don't do a lot of highway driving.
Well, why do you not like that? The guy. I love this guy, and he's trying to help Rob. Rob doesn't like change, you see.
I know. Yeah.
Rob would like gas to be back when it was 25 cents a gallon.
30 cents a gallon. I go
wouldn't we all?
What,
wouldn't
now,
we all?
The Tahoe hybrid, not one of the best, but what is something out there that... Because what I've heard recently is that the hybrids don't necessarily make that big a difference.
Well, I'll tell you what, they do.
Okay.
And even though I don't own one, I sure wish I do. I did right now. And yeah, the reason why is because when you look at a total cost of ownership basis over 5 years and 75,000 miles, the Toyota Prius is actually cheaper, less expensive to purchase and own than a Toyota Corolla, a Ford Focus, a Chevrolet Cobalt, even a Honda Civic Hybrid and a Honda Civic, let alone any of the, you know, the Asian Kias, stuff like that.
Okay, all right. So
it really makes a difference because they just don't depreciate, and anybody that owns them is sitting on a gold mine.
All right, so if we go to your website, cleanmpg.com, you can tell us how to maximize our fuel. Is that the
definitely,
way it works?
Definitely.
And what do you get when you win the World Fuel Economy Championships in Elkhart, Indiana?
You get a gas card that might last you for 6 months.
That's exactly
it
what it is.
It would only last me for 4 months.
Well, you know what? This is the time for a guy like you, sure, Wayne, and you know, I really do hope that people go to your website and everybody tries to cut down on their gas. What about somebody like me where I go to, you know, from driving a car to 3 or 4 days a week driving my Harley to work?
Hey, I just did a review on a Yamaha XT250, and it gave me over 104 miles per gallon. So your Harley's worth about 75. I know you're probably only getting about 50 or 55 in it, but it's even worth some more than what you think, too.
I'm doing about, I guess maybe, what am I going to say, 22 miles both ways, about 40 miles a day.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it 18 miles? I think it's about 20 miles a day. 40 miles a day if you add
round
both directions. Mm-hmm. You multiply that by 5. And then you do, and
200.
I'm spending $15 and change to fill up the tank, and it usually lasts me about a week and a half.
You know what? You'll do even better if you turn the air conditioning off.
And I'll pretend like I'm out of gas on a motorcycle, and I'll be toast. Wayne, good luck with the website, cleanmpg.com. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Mike, and enjoy those interns.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Wayne.
All right, we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem.
I don't know if we do.
Apparently a little fender bender outside of people looking at the interns.
They were looking 3 blocks ahead.
Rubberneckers.
Rubberneckers are always difficult. We'll come back, maybe have the door, or maybe have a little discussion about what's going on. And
kind of post-mortem.
I'm checking my Rodney Dangerfield tie. More fun and more thrills coming up with also our final look at the news with Buzz when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.